And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with Shemaine Navarro. And on the line right now, we have the author of Conquering Life's Course, Richard Battle. Richard, how are you today?
Andy and Shemaine, we're doing great. And I had an update for you, especially Shemaine, that yesterday I was privileged to serve as the MC for Governor Abbott in the prayer breakfast for National Day of Prayer, with Ann Graham Lotz speaking, with 650 people gathered, and I saw one mask.
That is amazing.
Okay, then Richard, let me ask you this. Is there a way Texas could annex Colorado? I mean, I know we're not right next door, so you may have to, I don't know. Build some sort of bridge, but is there some way you could annex us? Could we have your governor, or should we just kidnap your governor? I know that's a criminal act, but it's just something that might help us out. Is there any way we can make Colorado less like Colorado, more like Texas?
Well, what I hope, and I heard your previous segment, is that businesses that are starting to reopen, governments are reopening, and the pressures that are being put on states like Colorado and New York and California, where people are fleeing to go to more free states, and businesses that are losing people to be going to businesses that are more free, I'm hoping that those pressures are going to come to bear and force Colorado and other states to open up.
Yeah, Colorado, it has actually dropped during COVID. This is unbelievable, Richard. Colorado, just so you know, was always in the very top group for economic growth every single year. It's just, people pouring into Colorado with big money from the West Coast all the time, and that's why we always did well. Well, in the last year, we dropped, our unemployment rate was sixth. We dropped down to 35th in the country, which is almost unheard of. I mean, that's how poorly we have handled this, while states like yours have done a great job.
Well, and it's there's a financial impact on state budgets that if it hasn't hit yet, it will. And that's another driver for states to wake up and say, we've got to reopen so we can get the activity coming in again and replenish the state coffers.
Hey, before we get to our topic, which, by the way, is how has COVID affected elections in America? I do want to talk about that because you wrote an article. Your book, Conquering Life's Course, wasn't your first one navigating life's journey?
Well, Conquering Life's Course was a 2019 book on common sense in chaotic times.
Okay.
And Navigating Life's Journey, which was book 7, was a 2020 book.
Okay.
Common Sense in Uncommon Times, but they were very much similar, and each one of them had 40 common sense principle chapters, easy to read.
Okay, so Navigating Life's Journey is actually the more recent one, though.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in rather chaotic times. Shemaine, have you noticed that? I mean,
so much.
Am I alone here?
No.
Yeah, and so everybody, if you are living in complex and confusing and bad times, please get Richard's book. Richard, how can they do that?
Well, all of my publications are on Amazon, and several are available as Kindle and audio books in addition to printed versions.
I like Kindle and audio better.
Richard V. Battle.
Richard V. Yeah. Battle. I like Kindle and audio better because I can do the Kindle like on the Life Step. And audio, I can do that while I'm driving.
Everything. Yes, I love audio.
Yes. I don't like turning pages anymore. I'm a lazy American. Is that a bad thing, Richard? Am I an indication of what's wrong?
Well, only if you're lazy and not wanting to turn pages and you want to use a Kindle instead of a print book.
Kind of. Okay. All right. Let's get into the topic here. How has COVID affected elections in America? Because, my goodness, it has. It just seems to me that the left jumped on this.
Well, absolutely. They took advantage of a situation to go in and change election law, as well as many other laws, in unconstitutional ways at the local, state, and national level. And executives took power through executive orders, which we've seen with abandon, and courts did not take up the cases, especially on the national level last year, And so that power grab to me was the most breathtaking I've ever seen. And if it's not pushed back upon by the people, we'll set a precedent going forward that will ultimately cost us our freedom.
Yeah, wasn't this just another example of never let a crisis go to waste?
Well, absolutely. And they took advantage of it. And we, the people, had a faith in our government representing us to take care of that situation. And I think there's probably more people today that distrust the government than any time in my lifetime also.
Well, regarding elections, what are the main points that you think the left wants to cement in place using COVID to help them do it?
Well, I think they want to pass the national law and nationalize the elections. And what's interesting to me is having decentralized elections has always been a protection for election integrity. Even Barack Obama several years ago said it was hard to fix elections because they were decentralized.
I remember that.
And the threat to our election in 2020 was because machines had internet access, which made them viewable altogether. And if you nationalize the elections and set them all up under one set of rules, it will make it easier for either side to cheat.
Okay. Well, Richard, oh, sorry.
Weren't we essentially there with how Dominion was used in nearly every state or every county? Like, weren't we basically?
Yeah, Richard, do you have some concerns about Dominion?
Because weren't many options.
It was pretty shady, it looked like.
Well, absolutely, and the story's not fully told on that yet, but they were not supposed to hook those machines up to the internet, which they did.
Yeah,
and
that worries
them me. To be hooked up and it should, because that allows not only information to be sent out of them, but it allows information to be sent in from a central location. And of course, there's reports that was done from outside of the United States, and I hope that we get to the bottom of this and find out what the truth is. But we should not have Dominion or any other manufacturer's machines connected to the internet. They should be standalone. They should be tabulated individually, and then all the tabulation should be gathered like have been done with paper ballots.
But Richard, let's be honest here. Trump's gone. Biden's in. Biden's the most corrupt president I've ever seen. I'm sorry. When you just look at what he did, you know, when he was vice president, I just can't believe this guy is our president. So what makes you or any of us think that any investigation is going to be conducted that finds this kind of stuff? I mean, I know some of the House leadership. Maybe if we take the House in 2022, I have no idea. How are we actually going to investigate anything with who is running the White House, the CIA, the FBI, and all these agencies now?
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think any national investigation right now is tainted at best, and my only hope is that the state investigations going on, the things in Arizona and up in, I believe it's in New Hampshire, where they're going through and auditing the election results, and it's going to have to come from the local and state level to have any credibility whatsoever.
Okay, Richard, what do you advise that we do? Because I got to be honest, when we hear this kind of stuff, we all feel so helpless. We do. We feel helpless. We feel the other side has won. They have control of the levers. They've got the joystick. And we're just on the screen getting run over. I mean, what can we do?
I think that's the great question. And everyone feels frustrated and helpless. And so in my mind, that's because none of us can do everything we think needs to be done to help this situation. And my best advice is all of us can do one more thing than we're doing now, kind of like Chame with the mask initiative that she's doing. All of us can do one more thing, whether it be election audits, going to the school election, city council, or at any level, each person can do one more thing than they're doing to help put their stamp on the process.
That's awesome. Richard, thank you once again for joining us. And one more time, where can people get your books? Do they have to go to Amazon? Is there a way we can go without going through the evil empire? Can we get them on your website?
Any bookstore can order my books. Again, Richard D. Battle, all seven of them are listed. Barnes & Noble, everything's on my website, richardbattle.com, and I can be communicated with through that as well.
Fantastic, Richard. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you all so much, and we say God bless America.
God bless America. And God bless RoofMax. That came out of nowhere,
yeah,
didn't it? Yes, it did. All right, folks, we're coming into hail season, and if your roof is just a few years old, it's probably dry, brittle, and just waiting to get torn up when the hail hits. Don't settle for that. Call Dave Hart at RoofMax, and you'll love how tough your roof is after he brings it back to life. Call Dave at 303-710-6916, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Shimei Navarro. And Shimei?
Yes.
Every now and then, a guy comes along and just does a monologue that is so good, I can't add to it. I just got to play a bunch of it. And this happened last night with Tucker Carlson.
Let's hear it.
So do you mind? Because Tucker's going to take aim at a new woke CIA recruitment ad. And folks, this is scary. Don't cry, but he's not kidding. Ready? Here we go.
Welcome to Tucker Carlson Center. Are you staying cheerful? We hope so. If you've been on the internet this week, you've probably seen the video we're about to show you. If you haven't seen it, there's really nothing we can do to prepare you for the experience of seeing it, except to tell you two things about it. First, it's entirely genuine. This is not a hoax. It's not a deep fake. It's not the work of some demented comedic genius who set up a parody account on Twitter. No, this video is real. The second thing to know about the video is that it's from the CIA, and that's not the Culinary Institute of America, the people who teach baking and sushi preparation. No, it's not. It's the Central Intelligence Agency, the guys who do waterboarding and subvert foreign elections. The CIA is the most heavily armed and supposedly the most sophisticated intelligence gathering operation on the planet. And yet somehow they produce this and then put it on social media.
I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me, full stop.
Wait, you're intersectional? So am I. What year were you? Just kidding. She didn't say that. She said, I'm a woman of color. I'm a mom. I'm a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And then she told us, hilariously, this spunky new CIA lady, she told us that she is intersectional, but, and pause for laughter here, and we're quoting, my existence is not a box-checking exercise. Well, of course it isn't. Box-checking? Come on. Just a cisgender Latina millennial mom of color with a certified emotional disability. Not a hint of box-checking there. In fact, that sounds like pure meritocracy. If by meritocracy you mean a system in which narcissism is the highest achievement. At Joe Biden's CIA, the spies talk mostly about themselves. You can just imagine what the job interviews must be like. Tell us about yourself, and please don't ever stop. So you can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other? Plus you're emotionally unstable? Perfect! You're just the person we've been looking for to foil the next 9/11 plot. Let's get you to the farm for some weapons training. That's your CIA at work. Now, not everyone has embraced these new hiring standards. The CIA used to be out mission to country, wrote former CIA officer Brian Dean Wright in an observation that was widely shared by many of his former colleagues. Now it's about demanding and getting accommodation to fix an emotional wound or advance a personal agenda. America is less safe with this new CIA and dangerously more political. That's what...
Okay, I'll stop it there. I mean,
Lord.
First of all, he was really funny. Tucker's always funny, but he was funnier with this. Yeah, you're not box checking.
Yeah, check, check, check.
Check, check. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. And she says, you know, my employment was not the result of a fluke. A lady, who said it was?
Yeah.
Who cares? All we want to know is, how do you do your job? But here's what I want to know, and please answer this, Shmay.
Yeah.
Do we want somebody with that big of a chip on her shoulder to have that much power?
No, I'd say that she's a little distracted from what she should be focusing on.
This is a recruiting video.
Yeah.
You would think that Project Veritas went undercover and got somebody to say these stupid things while they were eating a sandwich somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, how can they put something out? This is the CIA. Okay. Right now, folks, this woman can investigate you with the greatest intel apparatus on the planet.
No.
Okay. She can be part of that. And this is after we had the FBI spend years trying to dredge up dirt on Donald Trump when they had absolutely nothing. They even had a lawyer alter an email to make a dead end turn into a full investigation.
Yep.
Okay. He got nailed for it. They even, let's face it, they lied through their teeth. They brought forth people who had no evidence whatsoever. It turned out that they were, you know, whistleblowers. No, they weren't.
No.
They were activists.
Yes.
Okay, they're activists. And then when they said, okay, what's your evidence? Do you have an email?
No.
Do you have a text?
No.
Do you have surveillance footage?
No.
Do you have, a phone call? Do you have a taped phone call? No.
They had nothing.
The one taped phone call they had of Trump, he hadn't done anything wrong.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So following all of that, we now have this lady who has a chip on her shoulder, literally the size of Alaska. She must lean everywhere she walks.
Yeah.
And she has this much power to investigate you, and they're proud of it.
Yeah, and that chip makes her lean left for sure.
Yeah, it's on the left side.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the scariest thing in the world?
I mean,
we have the greatest intel apparatus on the planet. And people like her are in power of it.
I mean, they've been weaponized for a little while, though. I mean,
they have. It's not new.
So I would say it's almost in line with what they're doing. And I think we should fully reject it.
We have to fully reject it. Right now, I do not take seriously anything the FBI, CIA, or any of the alphabets do.
No.
This is insane. I can't believe that they live in such a bubble that they think to put something out like that would be acceptable.
No.
I mean, I guarantee you, it's not like anybody cares that she's cisgender or whatever. Lady, no one cares. Can you do your job?
Do you know what cisgender means?
What does it mean?
I think it means straight.
Okay.
Like, just regular.
Well, okay then.
So, you're not checking any boxes, except you're using the new lingo.
Okay. You see, now I happen to be a straight, white, middle-aged, evangelical Christian conservative male, but I'm not checking any boxes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not checking any boxes here. No. I just happen to be all these things, and I hope you like me more because I am.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Stop. It's awful.
Yes. So they put out a video. This was an ad. They put out a video saying we are this inclusive. And so we've got this person with a chip on her shoulder the size of Alaska who is now empowered to investigate you.
Who does not seem inclusive herself.
No. She's mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we go to break?
Yeah.
I just wanted you to hear a little Tucker.
Yeah.
Every now and then I need a little Tucker. Do you like you some Tucker?
I do.
Me
He's
too.
Fun.
I like me some Tucker. Okay. Up next, we have Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, I keep saying it. Don't wait until you retire. A reverse mortgage line of credit will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. And Bruce Simmons can show you how. Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, You can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial. You know, Shimei, a lot of us find purpose in our jobs, but what about finding purpose in our retirement?
Yes.
Yes, life doesn't end then. It starts, doesn't it?
It really does.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's a lot easier to do when Al Smith from Golden Eagle helps plan how we save our money and then use it to its fullest potential. Call Al at 303-744-1128 or find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com. Let Al Smith help you find your financial purpose.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years, so he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Shimei Navarro. Sorry, I'm still laughing at that Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, he's a hoot.
Oh my gosh. I want to check all the boxes, and you check all the boxes, Shimei. Yeah. Good job.
Yes.
Okay. On the line right now, we have somebody who checks all the boxes as well. That is Daniel Natal of The New American. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, great to have you, or great to have me.
Daniel, do you wake up every day and do you wake up every day and say, you know what, it's great to have me?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to stay this way the rest of the day. Hey, by the way, did I say it right, Natal, or is it?
Yeah, either Natal or Natal. I always say Natal. So
Natal. I want to say it right. Daniel Natal of The New American. Okay, Daniel, you put out a video, did you not? And it has to do with the mass media.
Yeah, the video is appears on the New American website, or you can go to the YouTube page and see it. It's entitled Silent Weapons, and it's basically just the premise of it is that our media has been weaponized against the populace. Anybody who's out there listening, they can check out Walter Lippmann's 1926 book, Public Opinion, and it's about the same subject, or Edward Bernays's book, Propaganda, or more recently, Cass Sunstein, who's been tapped by Biden to be part of his administration. Cass Sunstein is an economic behavioralist, and he was in charge of the Democratic Party's deplatforming of conservatives, and he has a really great book that came out called How Change Happens, where he talks about kind of the conceptualization of social engineering and what he calls choice architecture, and how and why kind of narratives have to be shaped by censorship and deplatforming of conservatives. And anyway, anybody out there listening to me, if you read the book, How Change Happens, it's just a fascinating document.
Yeah, Cass Sunstein has been one of those guys who is, you ever watch The Wizard of Oz, Pay No Attention to That Man Behind the Curtain? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
He's been more than just about anyone the guy who's been pulling the levers behind the scenes with the left, ripping away your rights. I mean, this is a really bad dude. You don't have to say it, Daniel. I will. Okay. I'm just giving my opinion. I think he's one of the worst people in America. That's my opinion.
I mean, the thing that shocks me is how frank and how open, if you just read the documents of some of these, you know, I'll call them technocrats, because they assume that, you know, say if you're on the political right, as an example, if you're a conservative, they just assume that you're not reading. So if you do read these documents, they're very frank with what they say. I mean, like in the book, as an example, he talks about, he uses a term called norm entrepreneurs. And these are people who kind of shape kind of the Overton window, you know, shape like public ideas. And he openly says in there that Trump had to be gotten rid of because he was changing opinions on, you know, say globalism, or he was changing opinions on, you know, immigration policy. And, you know, because of this, you know, they had to by any means possible, you know, kind of tamp down on this because his arguments were winning with the public. They were watching the polling. And they were watching how people were you know, coming to the conclusion that some of these policies were not, in fact, beneficial to them. And even the Council on Foreign Relations, who's, you know, kind of, you know, public enemy number one in terms of globalism, you know, they were, you know, even admitting they had an article called Economists on the Run, where they were talking about, you know, economists discussing trade policy who since the 90s were saying globalism were good for you. Finally, they were saying Trump has a point. This hasn't exactly been very good for the working class. We had no idea how destructive it would be. So, you know, Cass Sunstein was, you know, by all means necessary, stop this conversation.
Well, gee, what's wrong with globalism, Daniel? I mean, it's only having your life completely controlled by people you can't vote out. What's wrong with that? I mean, that's just totally fine.
Exactly.
I want my life run by the UN. Get me my jersey.
Well, better yet, the World Economic Forum.
So. Oh, don't. Look. This is radio. It's family radio. You're not supposed to use obscenity. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. I got to ask you this, Daniel. Throughout history, propaganda was always a tool of government, right? How did it become a tool of the media that was supposed to protect us from the propaganda of the government? What happened?
Well, just as I said, I cited a book before called Public Opinion from 1926, and there was a gentleman named Walter Lippmann. He was a huge public intellectual back in the 1920s and 30s. And
Walt Whitman,
He was on the original council, you know, it was called the CPI. It was like the Center for Public Information, which was our version of the Ministry of Propaganda. And he very openly talks about in the book, you know, how propaganda was a tool of warfare, psychological warfare. In fact, it was run by the Psychological Warfare Division, and it was only supposed to be used against our enemies. And so it was a very, you know, kind of novel idea that after the war ended, propaganda was supposed to end, and it was never supposed to be used on our domestic population. And then Edward Bernays was the gentleman, he's the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he was the one who had the idea, well, what if we keep this going, you know, and we do this, you know, on behalf of corporate America, and we use it to sell products. Like, he very famously did the Virginia Slims kind of selling cigarettes to women, you know, because they were losing out on half the market share if half the population wasn't smoking. And so he was using these same techniques, you know, on behalf of the kind of, you know, Chamber of Commerce and Wall Street. And so anyway, so as these groups acquired more power and started creating spin-off groups, you know, like the aforementioned World Economic Forum, they started using these techniques that had been pitched to them, you know, in the post-World War II period. And we've just seen it go, you know, haywire on steroids since media consolidation. You know, a few corporations, five corporations now, I think it is, own 96% of the media. And so they've been using these techniques, and it really is just, you know, depressing just to see how effective it is selling these ideas to the general public who don't have kind of the sophistication to understand that they're being propagandized to. You know, they just assume, oh, yeah, in my media market, you know, I'm just getting this original idea, and, you know, everybody's on the same script, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, Daniel, you know this stuff well enough to be dangerous. I envision you driving a Virginia Slims van through the suburbs. I'm just saying, I'm a little worried about it. I could see it happening. Okay, sorry. She's looking at me. I went overboard there. Okay, what do they do when they say, okay, we must never use propaganda against ourselves, but only against the enemies in war? I get that. But what do they do then if the enemy subverts its way into power here? which is what happened. It rose up through the public education system. It rose up through media. It rose up through entertainment. It rose up through these ways, and it finally seized big tech through education, and now they have big tech. So here they hold all the levers of public power. Now they can use propaganda. So basically, what do you do, Daniel, when the enemy is here?
Well, that's one of the things. Adam Smith, back in 1776, he had a quote. I'll read it to you. He says, "People of the same trade seldom meet together, even for merriment and diversion. But conversation ends in conspiracy against the public or in some contrivance to raise prices." So Adam Smith, back in 1776, even he said, you know, people rarely meet together but to conspire, you know. And he also has another quote. I wrote it down. It's from Chapter 8 of Wealth of Nations. He says, "We rarely hear, it has been said, of the combination of masters, though frequently of those of workmen. But whoever imagines upon this account that masters rarely combine is as ignorant of the world as of the subject." So basically what he's saying is that when you have kind of like economic powers coming together, they rarely, you know, don't talk about ways to, you know, kind of increase their profit margin. And so that's what we've seen. We've seen, you know, kind of these Davos. And in fact, I think Davos just started, where these business leaders get together, they set policy, and then they're like, how do we, you know, promote these policies? How do we advance these policies? And one of the things that they do to kind of increase their market share is they have fake scarcity, synthetic scarcities. Oil being in my video, Silent Weapons, I talk about that. Like Prouty Fletcher, who was the guy who got together the information for the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Kennedy, he talked about how they were having kind of synthetic oil shortages just to drive up spot prices. And this is like classic Adam Smith. You know, they get together to, you know, how do we, you know, advance our you know, our profits. And as these same corporations have bought into our media, it's just become a megaphone for their kind of narratives. And sadly, most of these narratives are, you know, kind of self-serving for these business elites. So.
You know, Daniel, it's interesting how you put that, because people on the left constantly say peace, unity, peace, unity, peace, unity. But the worst thing in the world for the consumer and for Americans in general is peace and unity between powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they can get together and stop, and they can simply say, hey, I don't know, let's fix prices, let's do this, let's do that, let's corner the market, that's a bad thing, right? I don't want them, allow me to use this word, you know, honestly, I want them at war, okay, in terms of commerce.
Yeah.
I don't want them working together, am I right?
Yeah, no. There's an economic historian named H.W. Brands who talks about that. He was discussing Rockefeller, and Rockefeller famously said that competition is a sin. You know, he was the famous monopolist, so he liked monopoly. And so H.W. Brands commented that one of the fundamental precepts of capitalism is price competition, is that you have different, you know, businesses competing. When you cease to have that, that's when you get lower quality. That's when you get higher prices, you know, through monopoly. And it basically morphs from a capitalistic system into a socialistic system, which is what we're seeing. And that's ironically what Karl Marx described. He described capitalism, when you don't take care of it, it kind of degrades, it decays like any system. And so, you know, we basically have not been very good at, you know, kind of holding our politicians' feet to the fire to make sure, like Teddy Roosevelt, you know, who went around busting trusts, you know. And right now we're looking at big tech, and we're looking at this disinclination of our political class to push back against, you know, any of these kind of tech oligarchs, or to push back against any of these like transnational monopolies. And they're starting to affect our policy. And just to get back to Adam Smith, he warns about that. He says in, I think, chapter 10 at the end of it, chapter 11, he says that like there are three classes of people who make money. The first is through wages. The second is real estate. And he said there's a third class. He said this third class is like the international kind of mercantile financial class. And he said the first two classes, their fortunes rise or fall with the fortunes of the country. So it's in their economic benefit that the country prospers. He said this third class, however, it's in their economic benefit if the country collapses. So he said explicitly, you don't want this class kind of influencing policy in your country, because they would love to collapse your country and buy it up for pennies on the dollar. And so you kind of like watch as we used to be on top of this. Our politicians used to be very wise to this and kind of keen on, you know, reining in some of the excesses. But I mean, since like the especially since the 1980s and 90s, I mean, we really have like kind of, you know, gone astray, you know, and you know, the foxes are running the hen house.
You know, Daniel, it's kind of funny. While you were describing this, the bad stuff, but you were doing it from this pure American capitalist point of view, this wonderful patriotic point of view. I'm not kidding. We're on the 12th floor here. And right as you were doing that, right outside the window, like 5 feet outside the window, flew this huge eagle.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. While you were saying that, the eagle was actually saluting Daniel and Natal. I think that's incredible. Go ahead. You had a question.
Something that I thought was interesting, how you were talking about propaganda being used on the enemy, and how we're having these corporate entities or, you know, people being friendly. If they're using it on us, they're seeing us as the enemy, is what you're kind of saying, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly how they see us. And there's a great book called PR by Stuart Ewan, and he's like an expert in the history of propaganda and stuff, and a great professor. But anyway, so he goes through this, and he talks about how back in as early as the 1920s, the kind of Chamber of Commerce got together, and they started creating what they called five-minute men. And five-minute man would be dispatched, and he would make arguments on behalf of kind of like, you know, Wall Street or this, that, or the other. And so they were very conscious of going out to schools, going to universities, kind of changing hearts and minds. And one of the precepts that they had was the total gutting of government, so that basically a power vacuum would be created, and then they step into that power vacuum. And like for me, ideologically, me personally, I see government as it should be skeletal, it should be small, but it should all be kind of informed. Mm-hmm. It should kind of know. And when you read our politicians from like 1914, 1920, I mean, they were really, really smart individuals. I mean, they kind of really got it. You know, they got Americanism, they got like kind of entrepreneurialism. But I mean, since then, I mean, the propaganda campaign that has been mounted, you know, generationally, has really, you know, kind of infected people and kind of blinded them to what could go wrong. And, you know, yeah. And so these people very, very consciously think of us as the enemy, because populism is enemy number one. And they've discussed this, you know, at Davos, they've discussed this at all these, you know, kind of economic forums all around the world, that they have. Cass Sunstein talks about it openly, that populism has to be kind of destroyed. Yeah. Because if we unify, we could actually advocate for our own interests, and they don't see that as their interests. So
how do you, since it's so... Hey,
one second. Oh, can I jump in with one comment and then you ask your question? Yeah. You know, Daniel, it's incredible how they support unionism, right? And that kind of organizing in their own self-interest, but they oppose us, the consumers, organizing in our own self-interest. I just wanted to mention that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I guess my question to you, since propaganda, I mean, I have a hard time separating it from the Democratic Party and corporate stuff. It's just really hard to separate it from me, from what I see. How do you suggest breaking free from this? How do we open other people's eyes to...
Yeah, what's the game plan?
Yeah. How do we stop it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. Like, I greatly identify with the Democratic Party as well. I mean, like, when the last election season, they had six CIA agents running for, you know, congressional seats and stuff, and all of them were with the Democratic Party. I mean, it's largely become a sock puppet, like MSNBC with all their kind of John Brennan CIA types and all this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is just a, you know, a cat's paw for these interests. It is sad. And so you see the corporations, you saw this really unfold with Black Lives Matter, where you saw like over 200 corporations, you know, siding with Black Lives Matter, even as Black Lives Matter was burning down their businesses like Target and stuff, and they were giving them money, Apple and all these Airbnb. And so you saw this corporate kind of consolidation and, you know, kind of using the radical left to advance their policies, which they also did, ironically, in the 1920s. They Wall Street backed the black shirts with Mussolini. They funded Mussolini. And so you see on one side is the Democrats and kind of the Chamber of Commerce and the corporate, you know, oligopoly. And then on the other side, you see the American people. And so we have the numbers. I mean, they're terrified of the American people, and they know that they don't have the American people, you know. So that's why they're just going insane, trying to divide and conquer us, trying to deplatform us, trying to silence us, because they understand that we actually have real power. They have, like, illusory power. They have, like, algorithm power. Mm-hmm. They have the man behind the curtain. So the only thing that we can do is basically just educate ourselves, educate our children, kind of talk to ourselves in our own personal communities and our own personal lives, kind of organize, you know, along those lines, try to get more involved in the political system. And this is their kryptonite. You know, I mean, that's the last thing that they want. And that's why these are priorities of theirs, to crush populism. Because what is populism? What does that mean? It just means the people. You know, they're just terrified of us kind of rising up. And they saw that in 2016. I mean, they were taken aback. They had no idea that that would happen. And so, you know, they mounted their counteroffensive. And we're living through the Empire Strikes Back right now. But luckily after that comes, you know, Return of the Jedi, just to, you know, throw that out.
Well, and Daniel, I think we're going to be seeing Return of 2022. Okay, yes. I think 2022, we're going to see a populist whipping.
I think so.
I really do. Hey, Daniel Natel from The New American. This video is only about 11, 12 minutes. I think everybody needs to see it. What is the video again, and how can they see it?
It's entitled Silent Weapons, and they could either see it on the New American platform, which is thenewamerican.com, or they can just go to YouTube and click it before we get deplatformed there. YouTube, put in The New American, go to the video section, you'll see it. Silent Weapons is the title.
And can they also click on your name and see your articles?
Yeah, they can see all my work there.
The New American admits to having you there. That's good. That's good. You know, I know it's not safe. Thank you so because it's all big media. Okay, thank you so much, Daniel, and you're welcome back anytime. Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Daniel Natel from The New American. Okay, next up, a good shop. When you've had a car accident, remember, you are still in control. You know, people feel out of control. When you've had a car accident, you feel anything they tell you to do, you're just going to walk in those steps, right?
Yes.
And before you know it, the insurance company, they decide where your car is towed. Don't go with that, folks. Have it taken to a good shop where you can get great work done by people you can trust. Have this number handy, 720-541-7697. You can fill out the contact form. It's klzradio.com/collision. But don't forget that number, 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others, so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
And Franktown Firearms is next. When supplies are tight, prices soar. But at Franktown, they keep prices as low as possible, even during the current gun buying surge. They don't just want your money now, folks. They want your business for life. So find Franktown at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year. and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
From Denver's KLZ 560, I'm Richard Beatty with traffic and weather. You know, there's an application that a certain public media company is sponsored by. It walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, and it ducks accountability. I guess it's so you won't pin the tail on the donkey. Rush to Reason listeners know that integrity starts with everaccountable.com. Don't go it alone. Go to klzradio.com/accountable. Kipling South between 17th and West Colfax is closed due to an accident involving a motorcycle. New crashes at I-25 North at Lincoln and Broadway. Water main break has closed the intersection of 36 and Tejon. Pavement pothole repair, Colorado Boulevard northbound. This is planned and will be happening the rest of the week. And a new crash, I-225 North at Colfax. Here's your Skyview weather. Partly sunny with a high near 62 today. Well, I don't think we got that far up. 53 in Denver right now. That's traffic and weather. I'm Richard Beatty, KLZ 560, your home station.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Shimei Navarro. Shimei, we got just a couple minutes here. Let me ask you something. I got to frame this. There are people who would be concerned, of course, that if you go and take your selfies at these stores, mm-hmm. you're putting them in a bad situation. On the one hand, if the store throws you out, now they got bad press, right? And everybody on your page, which is growing by leaps and bounds, as it should,
yeah.
is going to say, I don't want to go there. On the other hand, if they leave you alone, then it could this be video evidence that they are accommodating you breaking a state mandate?
Yeah, I mean, it is a... There is a line there, I guess, that's kind of funky. I think that the state mandate does indicate that if you have a medical exemption, that the mandate does not require you
so
to
So you
wear.
Can say you have one and they can't ask to see it because then they're violating HIPAA.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so there's your out.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. At some point, folks, we have to rise up and not wear them.
Yeah.
Okay, because look at our governor. Yes, like he's going to get us back to normal. Let's take a step back here and look at Polis, okay? We're talking about a man who wore masks and distanced and did everything in the world, still caught COVID because none of that prevents COVID. Okay, so he caught COVID, got over COVID, still got the vaccine, and still wears double masks
yes.
and distance. Okay, a guy that paranoid is not going to lead us back to normal.
No.
Okay, so if that is what's supposed to lead us back to normal, I'm sorry, but at some point... We got to throw off the masks.
Yeah.
And you got to do it as a group. I don't know how else to do it. We as conservatives don't want to put businesses in a bad way. But on the other hand, Shimei, and I'm going to let you close this out here. Is there an alternative?
I don't know. I've just been reading, you know, the Declaration of Independence, and this might be overkill, but it says when a long train of abuses and usurpations, I can't say the word, pursuing the same objective, it says that we're known to not push against this. We'll take it, we'll take it, we'll take it. And at some point, the consent, we give the governor our consent to rule us. I don't know. Like, I'm done. We need air to breathe.
Look, he's a paranoid lunatic, and we don't want to do these things, but I don't know any other way but to say no at some point. Okay, folks, that's it for hour number two. By the way, great quote. Thank you.
It's my favorite.
It's awesome. In the next hour, we're going to talk with Heshy Tischler and Dr. Tom Schneider. Heshy's running in New York, by the way. It's pretty cool. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason KLZ 560.